This is part one of a two-part podcast.
Hey, this is T. Blankenship. Have you seen the new video of Wheatland Labs? It is permaculture awesomeness with all new and improved things like more rocket mass heaters, easy bake coffin, Willy Wonka, rocket cooktop 2.0, and the truly passive greenhouse. To see more, go to permies.com/tour. Again, that is permies.com/tour.
All right. The numbers are counting. It's gone. It's gone. All right. So I'm here with Cheryl. You've been here like a week?
Oh, about a week, yeah.
Yeah. And you have foolishly listened to like some enormous, like how many podcasts have you listened to?
Officially 724.
Holy shit. I can't even believe I made that many. All right. So the purpose of today's thing is like, I can't remember what I've said and what I've not said. So, what I did was I invited you, because you've listened to so many, to ask questions. So with the idea that, okay, now I'm going to get stuff into the podcast that I haven't put in yet. But you just now, moments ago, told me like, what I did was I made a list about how I, Cheryl, am weird. And now those are my questions. I don't know. You want me to validate your weird? Verify. Oh, yeah. That sounds about right. Like, I'm not sure what you have in mind.
It's kind of, I've become very immersed in permaculture and it's just common sense to me. And then I talk to people, and one example that I thought of not long ago was I was just chatting with a lady and I mentioned organic bananas, and she asked me, why are you buying organic bananas? And it caught me so off guard, I didn't even know what to say.
So, like, was the woman advocating that you just simply not buy bananas? Because I would go there. But instead, she's saying, like, why would you buy it organic? It's just as toxic as the rest.
I think she was like, why are you spending your money? Even though the price difference is very, very minute, and it's in a wrapper. So, you know, I don't think she understood the value of organic.
So I recently recorded a thing with Stephen Brooks.
Yes.
And he was talking about how he, when he was young, he watched them spray the banana plantations and the children that were playing nearby with their toxic yuck. And I think that so when somebody asks you, why, that would be one reason why.
It would be a very good reason. Too bad I couldn't think of it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I've got a lot of silly things to say about bananas in general, but one of the things is that I have recently put my foot down about how here at base camp, I said, I don't want to buy bananas anymore. If people want to go buy their own damn bananas, they can. But I've become a little bit anti-banana. But it really has to do with a lot of other things besides, what Stephen Brooks said. But an organic banana, of course, isn't getting sprayed like that. But, I'm just kind of feeling like, why, you know, to me, the thing that gets me really upset is why is it that bananas are cheaper than apples? And I know the answer, but I don't like the answer, and it upsets me. And it's like, you know, oh, and I gotta say, we've got so many. Have you? I don't know if you walked through our gardens while you've been here, but to see all, because like right now, all the apple trees are in bloom, and we've got like, I don't know, 8 apple trees just here at base camp that are in bloom that have never bloomed before. And so it's like, oh, we're going to have so many apples this year. All right. So this, some strange woman, and she was so strange. She was probably like caked in makeup and artificial hair color and wearing bling. And she's like, why? Why? I'm imagining her as the Wicked Witch of the West or something. Why do you eat the organic penis? I don't know what witch that is, actually. Why? Okay, so anyway, that was the question, was why. And that's our podcast topic to start with. We're starting there because you felt weird buying organic bananas.
I didn't feel weird about it. I felt weird having to justify it. Does that make sense?
Okay. So I have heard that when women have a disagreement, one of them will punch the other one in the tit. I've heard of that. I've never seen it happen, but I heard it once and I was like, really? So I would imagine that would hurt, but anyway, okay. All right. So rather than punching this woman in the tit, you were thinking like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be smart and witty. And I'm going to make it clear, and I'm going to somehow come up with magic words to convey my permaculture values to this person. They're going to embrace permaculture values from here forth because I came up with such great words to this person. Why? And you're going to convince that person. Is that what you're thinking?
That would have been great. That I wish that would have been there, but, you know, caught off so off guard that I don't even remember what the conversation was about. I just remember the bananas.
Okay. So I'm very, very cagey when people try to talk to me about my recent health comedies, because it's like I do want to say, I mean, I think that there's an obvious one, and that is that, before finding out about cancer, and I talk to people about cancer a lot before, but ever since my own personal, you know, gob, Tommy the Tumor, then I would occasionally go to a restaurant, and now I just really don't. But I would also occasionally eat things that were not organic, that were not at restaurants. But I would say that here at Base Camp, we had a solid 90 to 95% organic food, and now we're looking at a solid 99%. And a big thing is I like what Joel Salatin says, is like, if you think organic food is expensive, have you priced cancer lately? But I think that the first answer would be the cancers, you know, and it's like, oh, well, this, you know, the non-organic bananas, those are there to help, poison dumb fucks so we don't have them in our population longer. Because there's a problem with the social security system, and that, there's getting to be way too many old people that are being supported. So what we've done is we've come up with this cheap food system that slowly poisons them. I don't know. That sounds like a tinfoil hat thing, doesn't it? It's actually true, but still, I don't think anybody's like, we're going to poison the old people so we have to give them social security money. And it's like, I don't think anybody's doing that. I think it's just like, it's more like, I'm going to get fucking rich selling dopes, poison bananas. I think that's a good thing to do, is like, if you look at the poison bananas, which are the non-organic ones, I kind of wonder, for all the executives in Banana Inc., I wonder how many of them eat those bananas versus organic.
Yeah, I'm going to guess probably none of them.
Yeah, that's my guess too. I mean, I remember Sepp Holzer telling a story about visiting a guy in Scotland who owned this massive chain of grocery stores, and he confided in Sepp that he would never eat any of the food that comes from his own grocery stores.
That's terrifying.
I think that's fair. Yeah, terrifying. That works. But I gotta say that wherever I go to talk about anything, so we're talking about how you are crazy and weird, and I'm pretty sure I'm about to out-crazy, out-weird you. But I kind of feel like wherever it is that I go and people want to talk about gardening, my stuff is too crazy. I think I recently recorded a podcast where I talked about how I went to an event where a woman started talking about the importance in Montana about having a clean heat. And I think her solution was to have electric heat in her house, because then the pollution is somebody else's fucking problem. You know, all those babies over there can fucking die so I can have clean heat at my house. And it's like, man, that is just hard. And the thing, and I think I've mentioned in a podcast before how I got started with all this is that when I was a young fella, I would go up into the wilderness with a backpack, and I would live off of the land, and I would eat the fishes. And then someone told me, "Day's poisoned," and it's like from the mercuries that come out of the coal plants.
For her clean heat.
For her clean heat. That bitch is poisoning me. Okay, so there's this woman, and she says, Why spend the extra, I don't know, 10 cents on that, on those bananas that are organic instead of what she's buying? And it's like, if you want to buy the poison, you just go right ahead. Here's one that I would use is like, I have studied the difference like way too much. And now the organic I would consider barely food, and what you're buying, I would like think that that's thinning the herd of the stupid people.
Yes.
And so, but I'm sure I'm wrong about that according to your standards, but by my standards, this is all perfect. I need you to buy those bananas, and I need me to buy these bananas. And I'm going to live longer because of it, because I happen to know what's in your bananas.
And your brain's going to fire better, and you're going to be thinking of more awesome permaculture things.
Well, keep in mind, we are talking about bananas. I mean, I don't think bananas are a great brain food. I mean, that's a whole other area to talk about, is like whether bananas are any good for you. Apples, on the other hand, we can talk about apples.
Yes.
Apples are great. Apples are the magical food. Bananas, even organic, and I kind of give Fred shit a lot because botany. Let's name all the things and put them in little groups and stuff. And it's like, so a grain grows on a stalk. It's a monocot that grows on a stalk, and it has a little seed head, right? Like, you know what wheat looks like,
yeah,
for example. And bananas grow on a stalk, and their fruit is these little bundles that look like a wheat seed head. So I try to tell Fred that they're misgrouped. They should be a grain. Bananas are like just a wackadoo grain. And Fred's response is basically a 10-minute long And so, but I don't know. I'm just pushing his buttons then.
Yeah.
But it's a funny button. Watch, I could make Fred jump. So, anyway, the thing is that, I don't think bananas are a health food. And I kind of feel like, and it upsets me that they are so much cheaper than apples at the grocery store, but we got our own apples. And that's another thing too, is like, let's eat the stuff that grows here. We've been eating heavily from our gardens here instead of going to the grocery store. But okay. Did I come up? 'Cause you're thinking like, even after you left the store, you're like, you couldn't think of a great comeback.
Oh, I could later. It just caught me so off guard. When's the last time somebody challenged me on something like that?
And you can't punch them in the boob, I understand.
No.
That's crossing a line of etiquette. It's just funny to think about. I don't think about that because I'm not a woman thinking like, you know, I'm going to get the world to be obedient to me. And I'm like, all right, well, every time anybody disagrees, I'm going to punch him in the boob. Barely. My understanding is only women punch other women in the boob.
You know, if that's going to happen, I'm going to have my daughter record it. Okay. That way we can show you.
All right. Cool. So, but you did think of something to say to that woman later.
Yes.
What were you going to say, like, after?
It would be basically what you and Stephen Brooks were talking about with how that's affecting the children and the environment, and it's really only getting sprayed for cosmetic reasons.
Oh, there is that too. I'm mostly thinking about my own health. I just think bananas are stupid. But but no, I think there's also the whole thing of like my own health as far as like why organic, and it's like, because that one's full of the cancers and this one is not. But you just go right ahead. You know better than me. You just go buy those bananas. You just go right ahead. Okay. We've covered that one?
Yes.
What's the next thing?
My gardening style. So I live in a suburb, and most of my neighbors in the whole area, if they have a garden, is very, very tiny. We're talking like 5 by 10 feet maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that stuff is more like ornamentals. It's not even food.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a wilder style. I've got my herbs and my pretty flowers and my vegetables all mixed up. I do not cut everything down in the winter. So things that are left standing. Mm-hmm. And no one around me does that. So it just looks different.
Okay.
And I'm sort of at the bottom of two hills, almost at the bottom.
Okay.
And I have redirected a lot of the rainwater into rain gardens in the front of my yard.
Okay. Where's the... Okay. So what you're stating is that your stuff is different, but it's not like... do you have, like, people coming to you and saying, "Damn it, Cheryl! You are violating all of our..."
Not yet. I do have some neighbors that no longer talk to me. They used to come over and offer advice.
So this is working out really good.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think
you
they
didn't
know
like
that.
Their advice anyway.
I did not.
Yeah. So this is perfect. Wow. Your gardens have superpowers. They keep the dumb bucks away. This is great. Shuts them the fuck up. Oh, beautiful gardens. This is the best. I think this is a feature.
Yeah, that's a plus. It's definitely a plus. My teenage daughter is embarrassed because our yard looks so different, and people know where she lives.
Well, yeah, but teenage daughters are supposed to be embarrassed about their parents. That's like, she's got to have something to be embarrassed about. And so there you helped her out. You gave her the thing to be embarrassed about. And so she's doing what teenage girls do. Oh, my God, Mom. You're embarrassing me. And you're like, thank you.
Yo, it doesn't bother me at all that she's embarrassed.
Yeah.
The next thing I'm doing up front is going to be a hugel culture.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay. You can tell your daughter that if you don't like it, you know, when you're 18 and graduate from high school, you can move the fuck out. And then you won't be embarrassed by it anymore. However, you will have crippling expenses. You might want to just find a way to learn to like it. In fact, I could use a little help in the garden this weekend. What I did to my kids when they were small and the preteens, before they were teenagers, is if they misbehaved, I would say, I remember for a while we were living in Colorado and we happened to have a lot of Canadian thistle. And I would say, you owe me, we used to have a thing back then called a coffee can. I don't believe they exist anymore, but I'd say you owe me a coffee can of of thistles. And then the first time they would do it, they would be packed in there as light as possible, and then I'd smoosh it down and say, keep going. But they didn't like picking thistles. I didn't like picking thistles either. But it's like, but boy, you know, it turned out that by the end of summer, we didn't have any thistles left.
Well, here's something a little odd. My daughter actually really enjoys thistle picking. So she
this is the
that.
One that's embarrassed.
Yes. Yes, she has no problem with it. She enjoys it. I just have to remind her to go out and do it.
Ah.
So she's weird in her own way.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know where to go from here. But but the key is, teenage daughter, embarrassed by your gardens.
Yes.
And but the same thing that makes her embarrassed also repels dipshits in your neighborhood. And it's like, that is a superpower. That is amazing. But other than that, there hasn't been any issue, and you're about to put up a hookah culture.
Yes. So we'll see if the comedy is then really started widespread.
The great thing about the hookah culture is that where you do it, where you put it, if you make it nice and big, it will double your growing space. It'll double the amount of food you can produce on that little patch of land. So, you know, I'm encouraging it. Go, go, go. And then if you're, you can tell your daughter, like, because of the way that we build the hookah culture, people won't be able to see you out there with those gardens plucking those thistles. So you won't be as embarrassed. So actually, we're making this for you.
Yes, and maybe we can plant some tomatoes on the roadside of that hookah culture. We'll see. We'll see how much attention we can attract.
Yeah, that sounds cool. All right, what's next?
The different things that I plant that my family tells me they've never heard of or are very strange. Lovage is one of our favorites now that they've gotten used to it. It's a perennial. It's a little like a celery and a parsley combined.
Mm-hmm.
You can cook with it. The rabbit really likes it. We have a pet rabbit. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
And we dry it and we season with it too. We just planted our first sunchokes last year, which, of course, in our world here, that's normal. Like, you don't have sunchokes? That would be weird.
Yeah, for us, for permaculture people.
Learning to cook with date syrup and date paste instead of, like, white sugars.
Oh, good. Good, good. I'm hoping that, I mean, we had a good crop of apples last year, but this year we're going to have probably 10 times that number of apples. And I'm hoping that this year we're going to explore apple syrup.
Ooh.
And I'm even kind of thinking, like, maybe we'll go so far as to get apple sugar.
I know absolutely nothing about that.
I know a little bit about, like, we discovered last year how to quickly concentrate apple juice, and we did a bunch of jams with concentrated apple juice last year. But I hope to do, like, 10 times more this year of that. And so basically, I mean, just to give the quick recipe, it's really easy. Just put it in a crock pot and you, like, fill the crock pot up and leave the lid off the crock pot and then just run the crock pot on high, for like 24 hours. And the room smells beautiful and then it'll be 2/3 gone after 24 hours.
Oh, that's so simple.
It is crazy easy. And it's in the fall, so, you know, if that crock pot accidentally throws off some extra heat, that's, you know, one less load of wood to bring in. Yeah.
Okay. Chervil is another herb that we like.
Okay.
That one is not perennial by us. Chia seeds, quinoa, spelt and acorn, lots of different flowers that I'm learning to cook with that a lot of people haven't heard of. We call it salmonella. It's not. Semolina? curly dock. I forage for that, and we make flour from that.
Mm.
Emmer. We like to eat liver, and I like to put chicken feet in my bone broth. People that make bone broth, that would be normal. However, I'm the only one in my family and my relations that does that, so they're looking at me like I'm a goofball.
Yeah, I mean, I think bone broth isn't that unusual.
No, it's the chicken feet part that they make faces.
I think if in China, that's not unusual at all.
I actually get the chicken feet from the Mexican grocery store by us.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's got to be part of their culture as well.
Okay, all right. And so there are some cultures where chicken feet is, like, pretty normal.
Yep.
They're a little weird to prepare, though.
They are. They're not my favorite thing. They're not. But my bone broth's so much better because of it.
Okay. Cool. Cool.
Pickled heart and pickled tongue from our beef. That's
have you ever had pickled peaches?
I have not.
Yeah. It's pretty tasty. All right. Go on.
Okay. Another thing in my gardens that just looks a little different is... like the biennial brassicas in particular.
Mm.
I we'll let them go to seed, and the next year I get the seeds from that.
Yeah. All right. All good. But, okay, so now you're feeling like you're a weirdo for growing this stuff.
I don't. I get looked at funny.
Who's looking at you funny?
My friends, my family, definitely my neighbors. I have a small circle.
Okay. So let's start with your neighbors. I mean, clearly you've got two fewer neighbors to deal with because the way your garden looks somehow just keeps them away.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other neighbors that are like coming by and saying, you're weird. And because we think you're weird, we're going to do nothing.
Yes, they do absolutely nothing, and it's lovely. When I first started putting the gardens in, they would stop and chat with me, and I was building my she shed, and they were excited about it. And as my gardens developed and got bigger, they stopped.
So when they come by and say you're weird, isn't that a compliment?
I would think absolutely. I'm not trying to be like everybody else. I'm trying to live healthier. I'm trying to grow my own food.
Yeah. So...
Put Paul's brain on your plot. Do you have a hunk of land but don't know where to start? Do you have a world-changing permaculture idea and you need some feedback? Do you feel like the guy in overalls may inexplicably hold the keys to all your wildest permaculture and homesteading dreams? Well, you're probably wrong. But if you want to give it a go anyway, you can hire Paul for a consultation. He will be all yours for a whole entire hour. Schedule your Paulversation today at permies.com/consult. permies.com/consult.
So it's cool. Your neighbors are coming by and complimenting you. And we're talking about this. Why?
They used to compliment me. No one talks to me now.
Oh, man. I would have to say that for the most part, that is. I mean, I think I was whining this morning about how I want to be able to talk about gardening to people, but I'm just, I guess my philosophies in gardening are too weird, and people just, it is an unacceptable conversation. And so I think what you just said is that what you're doing is too weird for them. But all you're doing is growing gardens.
Yes.
And just growing plants. And so, rather than you being cool and interesting, they're just like steering clear. Like they're going to go plant the stuff that they bought at the Home Depot.
Yep.
Or grow lawns. And that's their whole shtick. And that's like, that's fine. You get to do that. And, okay. It seems like everything's working out perfectly.
It is.
Okay.
Right now, I am very happy with it. The worst thing that happens, people don't come up to me and talk to me. I'll hear the conversation about how all of those dandelions, oh my goodness, because we don't spray.
Right.
But we also keep our lawn a little longer, and there has been a drastic decrease in the amount of dandelions in our backyard.
Right, because of the way that you mow and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I would have to say that the other thing is that you're going to be growing probably 10x the food that any of your neighbors are growing, and you're probably putting in one-tenth of the effort, and they're probably angry at like, you know, you have to work as hard as we do at our gardens, and you're kind of, because your garden looks a bit feral, which by the way, when your garden looks a bit feral, you can call it a cottage garden.
Oh, I love that term.
And then people are like, oh, yeah, you're right. A cottage garden is so beautiful. Whereas if it's just feral, it's like, you need to do something about that, or I'm going to call the HOA, you know? And so, all right, what's next on your list?
We were going to do meat rabbits.
Right.
Because I can't do chickens because of how I'm zoned.
Oh.
So rabbits is about all I can do.
All right.
We were learning about them, and we got a rabbit, and my daughter fell in love with it, and it's now a pet.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Not a tasty pet.
No, she told me I'm not allowed to eat it. I get it. She's a sweetheart. We all love her. Her name's Susan.
Okay. All right.
And I know you've never raised rabbits, but I have been trying to come up with a way to give them a safe way to exercise.
I have helped to care for other people's rabbits when I was young. But they were in cages, which I did not like. I would far prefer a more colony style thing, but okay. So, I don't know. I've talked to a lot of people about raising rabbits. And of course, whenever you talk about raising rabbits, 87 different people need to stand up and say, oh, you've already, because the expression on your face is, you know what I'm going to say next. What are they going to say?
I'm not 100% sure what you're going to say, but you're never doing it the right way. It doesn't matter which way you do it.
I was going to say the thing about rabbit starvation. So rabbits tend to have a lot of protein, but very little fat. And so a lot of people will say that you can eat rabbit, and that's fine, but you can't, like, have a diet that's exclusively rabbit, or else things will go sideways for you.
I have heard that.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, and it's kind of hard to talk about rabbits around the, you know, I don't know, general homesteading population, because they have heard that thing and they keep bringing it up. However, it's like no one's talking about eating only rabbit. And it's like there's going to be some rabbit and there's going to be some other things too. But I do think that when exploring the whole rabbit thing. Now, here's another thing. What if you had 20 rabbits? I'm just and I'm going somewhere with this. If you had 20 rabbits, that would be so many rabbits that your kids might not ever get around to naming them all. Or if they did name them all, they will probably forget what they named those rabbits by the time harvesting day rolls around.
That wouldn't be a problem for us. We're not afraid to name the food that we eat.
Okay. All right. Plus, the other thing is, if some rabbits are more friendly than others, then the ones that are less friendly, it's like, we'll eat that one.
That one has upset me a few times. Yeah. She's first.
So, that one bit me. You're going down. It'll teach you not to bite. Let that be a lesson to the rest of you. No biting. Or else.
She put a hole in my favorite hoodie.
Yeah. So, but yeah, when you've got only one, then okay. Yeah. It's going to be a tough sell.
Yes. When she's moving out, cause she's been talking about moving out, she is taking her bunny with her, and then I can do the meat rabbits.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. What's next on the list?
My she shed in the backyard is definitely not, you know, a kit from the store, as everyone else's. It's 80% upcycled or dumpster-dived kind of materials.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually got a welded frame underneath it.
Okay.
And then pallet wood siding, and I used I don't have the big overhangs on the buildings like you do.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought of that. So I use lime wash, and I lime wash it every couple of years.
That sounds like work.
It is work. I do kind
I'm
of enjoy
lazier
it,
than you.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't know.
I think the big overhangs is, we do a lot of that. And then we don't ever have to paint it and stuff. And it's like, okay, that was easy.
That would have been a lot easier. I wish I would have known about that at the time I built it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Anyway, what's next?
Okay. This one is kind of a funny one. I have some health issues, and I see nurses regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed up with very, very stained black hands. I had been playing with my black walnuts.
Oh, yeah.
And the nurses, 2 years later, are still talking about it. They didn't even, most of them hadn't even heard of black walnuts. I think I ran into one nurse out of about a dozen that knew what black walnuts were.
Huh.
I agree.
Wow.
That caught me off guard.
Well, I do think that, like, I mean, there's a lot of gardens. Like in Missoula, when I was a young fella and I was first getting into gardening, I would walk. I lived in what's called the University neighborhood, and I would walk through the alleys, and you could see everybody's backyard garden. And there's a lot in Missoula. So, you know, I would have to say a lot of people know a thing or two about gardening, but I would have to say that most people, even in Missoula, most people believe food comes from the grocery store, the restaurant, or the Missoula Saturday Market, which I'd like to think, because you didn't go to the Saturday Market last weekend.
I did not. We had just been traveling. It took us 23 hours to get here driving.
Okay.
So the last thing I wanted to do was hop back in the car.
Understood. But Saturday's coming up.
Yes.
And are you going to go hit it?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Zevin's very excited.
Yeah. The Saturday Market in Missoula is really amazing. And so, and then you also peek in on the carousel, which we recorded a podcast about the carousel ages ago. But, all right. What's next on your list?
Foraging. Evidently that's kind of strange to the people that I know. Like plantain and lamb's quarters, violets, nettles, you know, things that are normal for permaculture people.
Yeah. I would say that here in Montana, like if you were saying like, I went out last weekend and I picked some huckleberries, then everybody in Missoula would be jelly. Like, oh man, I know you're not going to tell me where your huckleberry place is, but I wish I had huckleberry place. I wish I had went out last week to get huckleberries. Same thing with morels.
Yes.
You know, and I found two morels, over a week ago, and now Lorenzo, who's here, he found seven morels yesterday. And so everybody's been sampling the morels. Now, have you had a chance to try a morel?
I have. I found one morel in my life. I'm just not blessed that way.
Okay.
Lots of other mushrooms, but one morel, and we had to cook it up right away and eat it.
Yeah. And the morel, I'm going to just state a fact, and then you will validate the fact, and that is that morels are better than any other mushrooms that exist. Oh, Joe, no! No! that expression on your face is attempting to negate what I just said, and you are a liar!
They are awesome mushrooms, but one of my favorites is really the hen of the woods.
Okay. I'm just going to step around that, try to wipe it off my shoes.
Sorry, Paul.
Yeah. Morels are the best. And I think I already shared in the podcast my history with morels when I was young. But okay. But foraging, I'd say here in Montana, it's like I don't know, everybody kinda is into it. I mean, to some degree, if it's huckleberries and morels. Now if you start talking about some other things, then they might be like, the fuck is that? And so I think a big one is for me is stinging nettles. Although and there's a lot of the funny thing is like when I go to an event or something and there's a bunch of people like we're all about the native plants. I shouldn't do this. Oh really? Can you tell me like what are the like what native plants do you eat regularly, you know, I'm not sure. And it's like stinging nettles are native to Montana, and so it can have some stinging nettles. Sunchokes are native, but you know they don't know that and they don't care.
I didn't know they were native to Montana.
Oh yeah, I love the story of Sacagawea. Like, Lewis and Clark are like, we're hungry, Sacagawea. Can you give us a snack? Like, you know, from where the snacks come from? And Sacagawea gives them the sunchokes. Eat it! But I think sunchokes taste way better than potatoes and so many other things. I think sunchokes are
terrifically tasty.
I cannot wait to harvest ours. Next year, we're going to go at it. This fall, I should say.
We have mountains of them here if you want. You have all you want. I'm sure you will not possibly get your fill. And so, infinite sunchokes here. All right, what's next?
I sew my own clothes. I don't like to go to the store and shop for them. So they're all hand-created, and I've recently switched to pretty much just hand sewing. I have beautiful machines, and I would just rather sew them by hand. I enjoy it. And a lot of people think that is different.
That is different. I remember an old Dilbert comic strip where it had a guy wearing a shirt that was all fucked up. And somebody, I think it may have been Dilbert, looked at him and said, "I think your wife hates you." And so, by hand, it does take longer. Most of the sewing that I do is by hand. Here, look, this thing. I made this by hand. But it's a tiny thing, so it's like, oh, I don't even want to go get out the sewing machine.
Yeah.
It's just not worth the time and set it all up and everything. By the time I get it all set up, I can be done. And it's like, so there's a bit of that. There is something that's very satisfying about doing it by hand rather than using the sewing machine. But it's kind of like when you build stuff out of wood. If you do it without power tools, there's a certain satisfaction that comes from that as well.
Yes.
So good. Good. It's not like people are looking at you like you're weird because they don't know that.
No, they don't know that until we start
secret
chatting. And most of the time, they're like, oh, did you make that? Because they know I sew. Mm-hmm. And now since the recent change, I made my daughter's prom dress. She had prom last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her teachers did not believe that I had sewn her dress. And I was a little offended.
Yeah, why would...
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I am not sure. I wish I could have been on that conversation.
Huh.
Do you not think I'm good enough, or do you not think it's possible?
Yeah, am I not as good as somebody in China, I suppose?
Yeah.
Or Mexico, who sewed up the other duds that are here?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And most of it was drafted by me as well. Not all my stuff is, I don't draft a lot of it, but that one was.
Yeah.
And just very surprised by that.
Hmm. I don't know. It seems like in the last month I end up talking to a lot of people about how we live our life here and how that is different from the whole worky job thing, which I don't know from my perspective. I mean, more and more and more. I mean, I used to be a corporate whore, but now here I am, and I haven't played that game in a very long time. And the idea of going back to that just is unthinkable to me. But here, like when there's all these people here, like we've got more than a dozen people here now.
Yes, yes.
And so, when looking at the people that are here, it's like, okay, the people that are out there in the corporate world, they are slowly going into debt, or a lot of them are. Their debt is growing with every passing year. But then I think that if they're here, if those same people are here, then it's going in the opposite direction. So, but it's kind of like, I don't know, everybody, the normal path is you have to have a job, and then you go to your job to get your money, and then you pay for your mortgage or rent, and then you pay for your car payment, and you pay for your insurance, and then you got to pay for all the things to make it so that you can go to work, and then, and then when it comes to your food, you're probably going to be visiting restaurants a bit. But, if not restaurants and grocery stores, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just a system. That is the system. And so you have to have a job. And I'm kind of thinking, like, you know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but it sounds like it's already started. A lot of people are losing their jobs.
It has started.
Yeah.
We know that from personal experience.
And they can't get another one. They are, like, freaking the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of think that what we're doing here is a solution, but I don't know. What I want to do is, of course, get to the point that we're full, and we have. Then we will start the waiting list, and then we will document gardening gardeners, and then maybe 100,000 homesteads across the United States will do gardening gardeners, and then there'll be places for all these people to go, but. Yeah, we got, you know, it's all steps and steps and steps.
When I tell people about the boot camp, a lot of them, they don't realize that it's a possibility. Like, they can't wrap their head around it, that you could come out here and not have a worky job and just live like that. And it's hard for them to get their head wrapped around it.
We will give you the opportunity to grow your own food and build your own home. And you don't get, I mean, it's like a shitty school. But at the end of, you know, months or years, however long it is that you're here, then, you'll have built up all those skills. And I would say you could just continue, you know, just, it could be a thing that just goes on and on and on. Although I have made it clear that if somebody's in a leadership role here for 4 years, I'll give them Allerton Abbey or something equivalent. I think it's easier than a worky job. And, if nothing else, the amount of time that you spend here doing this is, equivalent to a worky job, only now you don't have a commute. And then on top of that, rather than trying to do homesteading from a position of stress because you have to get it to work, I think that this is a very non-stress thing. You just pretty much need to have attendance. You don't need to think it all through or freak out about money or whatever. At the same time, if you have a worky job, you have to come up with the money and to be able to pay for all the things, and you can't fucking lose your job. And then what happens if you do lose your job? You're kind of fucked. And so, whereas this is something where it is such a load off. And it is you coast. It's easy, and all the things you're doing are growing your own food and building your own home, just very, very slowly. There's no rush. It's easy.
And you're working with nature, and it's very soul building.
Yes, yes. So you arrive, and the food that you eat and the bunk that you sleep in is provided by the boots of days gone by. And then if you decide to take off at any time, whatever it is that you did is for the benefit of the boots of the future. And it's like, okay, easy peasy, done, man. And I was recently talking to somebody who's put their money together to go buy their own property and do their own homestead. And I was saying, like, well, if you came to the boot camp and you did it here, then A, you'll ramp up in a lot of different ways, but B, it'll probably be way easier and nicer, and C, probably more fulfilling, especially since we have ringers coming by once in a while. Whereas when you do it on your own, it's going to be very stressful. You have to make it work, and you have to. You have all kinds of taxes to pay still, and you have this to do and that to do and whatever. I kind of feel like, there's millions of homesteads out there right now, but, there's probably thousands that are like, I wish I could have a dozen people here doing this with me, and it would be better. It would be bigger and better and beautifuler, and it would be all the things, and then, you know, it'd be great to have like-minded folks here and stuff like that. And they're willing to pay to get it going. Like, they've got the funds to get it, to help get it going, to get it started. And I know that there's like millions. I mean, there's apparently right now there's 10 million people attending a college in the United States. 10 million.
Wow.
And so, like, I don't know, probably 80% of them are racking up a student loan.
Yes. My daughter looked into going to college and interviewed people that had gone for her degree and found that they didn't even learn that much.
Yeah.
So she decided not to. She currently is in the job that she wants.
Yeah.
And is going to skip that huge debt. And she's getting trained on the job.
Smart, smart, smart. And I would say she should, well, I'm going to should on her. I'm going to should all over her. She should find a way to stay at home and eat that home food and have no rent and have no car payment and all those things and just save up those coins. And, you know, because I think everything's about to change. She might suddenly find that, you're all trained up now and everything, but surprise!
Yeah, anything can happen. You never know.
Right. So I kind of think that, anybody who, is listening to this podcast and, you know, get the word out, I suppose, I think you should, live as humbly as you can and save your coins. And it's like, well, I think there might even be some argument about over what flavor of coin to save. And it's like, I don't have the answer for that one. I do remember meeting somebody a very long time ago, like maybe 15 years ago. And his whole thing was go and buy, hand tools at garage sales and then just accumulate like a shipping container full of hand tools. And then it's like, A, now you got some hand tools, which is always kind of cool and handy. And B, that they're worth more than the gold or the silver or whatever else, you know, because if things go bad, you can always sell your hand tools for whatever the currency of the moment happens to be. And you have a mountain of them. I thought that was a pretty clever thing.
That is. Just the currency part, but maybe you're into like the zombie apocalypse and now there's no power.
Yeah.
Now you can build things.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other thing is, of course, plant some sunchokes, which you've already done.
Yes.
Yeah. And so but you're in the suburbs. So, yeah, I'd say the hugelkultur is going to double your growing space. And so, lots and lots of that. But then, you know, so much food is pumping out that, you know, if times get tough, then it's like, well, I've got a lot of food right here.
This podcast is continued in part two. In a world on the brink of social collapse, one website stands above the rest to fight back the zombie horde of corporate trolls, Permies.com. Take back control of your destiny and protect your loved ones from the toxic gick coming at you from all directions. Strap on your overalls and start building that bunker of abundance with the good vibes and friendly, helpful insight found at Permies.com.